In regards to those lights that Brother Ron was talking about, we had another likeness in the book of Ephesians, in chapter 2, remember? Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and the building of his church being measured by that cornerstone, making sure that everything is true according to that cornerstone that is there. Well, that's not our message today. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians in chapter 4. Ephesians in chapter 4. Let's read a few verses this afternoon. Let's read beginning with verse 17. That's where our section is began, and it goes down through the end of the chapter, but we won't read that far. We'll just read down through verse 24. Verse 17 through verse 24. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness and greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. A couple, 3 weeks ago, we began this section, beginning with verse 17. And we notice that we are not to walk as the unsaved. We're not to walk as the heathen, which is a term synonymous with those that are without God. They're the unsaved. They're without Christ. Henceforth, walk not as other Gentiles walked. We're not to walk as them. How do they walk? He said, in the vanity of their mind, and their mind is empty of any truth concerning God. They have not the truth. So their mind is empty of any truth concerning God. He said, furthermore, their understanding is darkened. Their understanding is darkened. We looked at that last week and thought about that and dwelt about that. Well, their understanding is darkened because they're, well, as today is going to go, they're born in darkness. And furthermore, they love darkness. Why do they love darkness? Because they love their evil deeds. And therefore, they did not receive, they did not hold on to the light, which the light is the Lord Jesus Christ. Did not hold on to his truth. And as verse 18 continues today, it said, their understanding is darkened, but they're alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. Their understanding is not only darkened, their understanding is darkened because they're dwelling in darkness, or living in darkness, or walking in darkness, and they love to have it so because of their evil deeds. But they are alienated. What does that word alienated mean? It means they're strangers, they're foreigners from the life of God. And he says that's due to the ignorance that is in them, through the ignorance that is in them. They are strangers. They're strangers to living the life that you and I, as children of God, live. As being in Christ, Jesus live, our light lined up with His light. Our building, the members that we're added here, we're added according to His goodwill and according to His pleasure to His church at Melbourne. And we're to be tried and true to the cornerstone, Jesus Christ. They're strangers to that. They're foreigners to living a life of God, living a life that is pleasing to God, one that honors and glorifies God, because, well, their mind is void of any truth concerning God, so they wouldn't know where to begin. Their ideas and thoughts is, well, I'd have to give up my drinking, and I'd have to give up my running around, and I'd have to give up my cussing. Well, you see, their mind is void of truth. Yeah. Empty of truth. If they had the truth in their mind, they wouldn't have to give it up. They'd want to give it up. You see, all those things. And I never understood that till the Lord saved me in that. I wanted to give them up, and boy, some of them, I'll tell you, some of them are a battle. Some of them are a battle yet today to give up. You see. So they're strangers, they're foreigners to this way of life, to this life that pleases God, a life that pleases God. And furthermore, you know what? They could care less. They could care less. They're so unconcerned about it. Turn with me to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms in chapter 58. And look with me here at this passage. Verse 1. Do ye indeed speak righteousness, O congregation? That's a good question. That's a good question for every one of us that are here today. Do ye indeed speak righteousness? Do you not only speak righteousness, but do you do righteousness? Good question. Do ye judge uprightly, O ye sons of men? Do you have righteous judgment? Do you judge uprightly? Is your judgment good? Is it just and is it true? Yea, in heart ye work wickedness. Ye weigh the violence of your hands in the earth. And here's why. The wicked are estranged from the womb. From the time you're born, you're strangers to the way of righteousness. That's God's word. And so you and I that are saved, we have nothing to lord over the fact that those Gentiles, those unsaved folks, those heathen are void of truth. Their understanding is darkened. They're alienated from the life of God. Oh, boy, I'm not. I have the truth. I'm in the light, and I'm living in the light. Well, you're right there saying you're not.
Because you're lifted up with pride. And pride is a sin. You see?
The fact of the matter is, every one of us were born strangers and foreigners to righteousness and righteous judgment. We didn't know the first thing about what it was. And we manifested that the moment we were born, because we came forth from the womb speaking lies. As soon as we were born, man, it wasn't long. If the doctor didn't give us a whop on the rear end to make us cry so that we breathe and everything, it wasn't long. We were crying and squalling, and boy, mama's running and thinking something's bad wrong with her little baby. And there's nothing wrong with it at all. Just wanted a little attention. Just wanted a little food or something. Or just wanted the diaper changed. Come forth. Speaking lies. Their poison is like the poison of a serpent. They are like the deaf adder that stoppeth her ear, which will not hearken to the voice of charmers, charming never so wisely. That's the condition of everyone that is born. They're born strangers and foreigners to the ways of God and the things of God. Turn with me now to back to the book of Ephesians. And so we were told earlier in this letter to the Ephesians, that's just what we were. Just what Psalm said, everyone that's born is. And that is what the Holy Spirit, through the pen of the Apostle Paul, said in verse 12 of chapter 2, that at that time, what time? Verse 11, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, you weren't saved, you weren't born again, you weren't in Christ. We could say you were void of any truth, your understanding was darkened, and you were aliens to the life of God, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands. That at that time, when you were without Christ, when you were just a good old heathen, a good old Gentile, walking in the desires and passions of the flesh, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That sums up those Gentiles, those heathen that the apostle is talking about in this fourth chapter. That they're alienated, they're strangers from the life of God. He said that earlier in chapter 2, that those Ephesians were that. The important emphasis there for you and I and for those Ephesians at that time was were. You were that. Now he comes to the fourth chapter and he said, you should not be that anymore. You shouldn't be living that kind of a life anymore. I shouldn't be living that kind of life. You shouldn't be living that kind of a life anymore. He says, well, even some of those are religious people. are void of truth, who understanding is darkened because they're walking in darkness, and they're aliens, they're strangers, foreigners to the life of God. Some of those are religious people. Example, turn with me back to the book of Matthew in chapter 15. We're safe in using that now. Wouldn't matter if we weren't, if we were in the 15th chapter of Matthew, and I felt necessary to go back there and remind you, I would. Matthew chapter 15, here we have some religious folks. Them good old scribes and Pharisees. You know those religious folks? They're so religious that they're self-righteous folks. And they come to Jesus and they say, why your disciples? Why don't they wash their hands? Our custom is wash our hands before we eat. Why don't they wash their hands before they eat? And basically Jesus told them, what does that have to do with spiritual? What you're doing has to do with the spiritual, and you're not doing what you ought to be doing. They were making a pretense of giving these big offerings and neglecting their parents. Jesus pointed that out to them. But notice what Jesus said about them in verse 8. Verse 7. He said, ye hypocrites! Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, he said, Isaiah prophesied of you, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth. What people? These religious scribes and Pharisees, these religious self-righteous scribes and Pharisees, they draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips. Sounds good, doesn't it? How many of us here honor the Lord with our mouth and honor Him with our lips? We draw nigh to Him with our mouth and we honor Him with our lips. But their heart was far from me. He said that concerning those old self-righteous religious scribes and Pharisees. He says that to the old self-righteous, religious, unsaved people of our day too. You honor me, you praise me with your mouth, you honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. In other words, you need to be saved. You need to be born again. You're walking void of truth. You're walking in darkness. You have no idea what it is living a life of God. You're a stranger to it. You're a foreigner to it. And he says here that in our text, he said this is due to ignorance. It is due to ignorance, and they have a lack of knowledge about, and they could care less. They're so unconcerned. They're willingly ignorant of it. That shows that they could care less. They have no knowledge, and they could care less. Turn with me back to the book of Isaiah. And this is a word that was spoken to Isaiah by God concerning Israel, concerning the unsaved of Israel. Not everyone in Israel was unsaved. There were some that desired God. There were some that desired to worship God, to honor God, to live righteous lives and holy lives. But by and large, they were a godless people. They worshiped other gods instead of the one true God. And so he says in verse 3, "The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider me." Those people that he had taken and he had raised from one seed into a multitude of people and brought them out of Egypt, out of bondage, across the Red Sea, brought them through the wilderness wanderings, took them into the good land, flowing with milk and honey. He'd done all that for them and blessed them all. And now the verdict against them is, they don't know me. They don't consider me. And so, as we make application today, there are many today that don't know God. They don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't know the first thing about it. They don't know the first thing about living a life of God, because they've not been regenerated. They still have the old fleshly heart, which is hard. It's hard towards the things of God. It desires the things of this life, the things of which it was born into, the darkness of this world.
Chapter 59 of the book of Isaiah. Chapter 59. In verse 8. "The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace." You see, he just basically here pronounces that their way is not my way. They're not walking in my ways. They're not walking in my paths.
They'll never know peace, walking in those ways and in those paths. And so it is with the unsaved today. As long as they continue on walking in their ways and walking in their paths, they will not know peace. You just look at our country today. You look at our world today. I mean, what seemed to have spawned here in this country, it wasn't just in this country, it was worldwide. Every major city across the world was holding those demonstrations.
They're not peace. Real peace comes in knowing Jesus Christ.
Because we know Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said we know God. We've seen the Father. You seen Jesus? You've seen God.
Amen. Oh, isn't that a blessing? Isn't that great? In the midst of this pandemic, in the midst of all this, I have peace. Why do I have peace? Because I'm resting in Jesus. You see, He holds me in His hand.
What a comfort. What a joy that is. Turn with me to the book of Amos. The book of Amos. Well, I keep going back and forth from it. Chapter 3. In verse 10, "For they know not to do right, saith the Lord, who store up violence and robbery in their palaces." They store it up. "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, an adversary there shall be even round about the land, and he shall bring down thy strength from thee, and thy palaces shall be spoiled." They shall not know peace. They don't know the Lord. His ways are not their ways. They do not know what is right. They don't know how to do right. They don't do right. They have no peace. And they shall not have peace in that condition. The book of Micah. Just forward a couple pages. The book of Micah in chapter 4. In verse 12. "But they know not the thoughts of the Lord, neither understand they his counsels." That goes back to last week, doesn't it? Their understanding is darkened, so they don't understand his counsels. "For he shall gather them as the sheaves into the floor." That is the nations. Verse 11 says, "Now the many nations are gathered against thee." They're gathered against the Lord. "That say, let her be defiled, and let our eye look upon Zion." You see, they think they're gathering against. They think they're gathering against Israel and Judah. I take this to be during the last days of the tribulation period, when they're gathering in forces. All the nations are gathering in forces to do battle against Israel. Well, they're actually coming to do battle against the Lord. See, they don't know him. They manifest they don't know him. They manifest they don't understand. That their understanding is darkened. They're alienated from the life of God. Turn with me to the book of Romans. A verse that we used this morning, looked at this morning. Romans chapter 3. Not chapter 3, I want chapter 10 in verse 3. I'll get it right. You all knew what I meant, didn't you? Romans chapter 10, look at verse 1. "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is..." I mean, we could stop right there and preach a message, couldn't we? We could preach a message concerning this was the Apostle Paul's heart and desire towards Israel, his people, that he was born to. And then we could make application to it to us today, could we not? Sure we could. Where's our desire? As a child of God, where's our desire for our people? For the nation that we were born into? Our countrymen. The plight of our country without the Lord. Apostle Paul said, my desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Do you have that prayer for your family members? Do you have that prayer for your neighbors? Do you have that prayer for your countrymen? Do you have that prayer for your president? For your congressman? For your governor? For your mayor? For your county commissioners? For your city council? Do you have that prayer for your countrymen? "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God. Oh, there are many across our land that speak His name, but their life demonstrates otherwise. They're strangers, they're foreigners to the life of God, and you can see it because of their life. The life that they live. But not according to knowledge. Not according to knowledge. You see, if they had a true understanding, if the light was shining on their understanding and the knowledge that they have, it would manifest itself in their life. For they being ignorant, there's that word again, ignorant. Ignorant of God's righteousness. Not having a knowledge of what God's righteousness, I mean, that is foreign to them, that is kin to them. When you talk about righteousness, they think you're talking about good works to get to heaven. Well, that's good enough, right? That's what most think. That one day, God's going to weigh the checks and balances. And somehow, it's going to come up good. Their understanding is darkened. They know nothing about the life of God and His righteousness. And going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. What did Romans chapter 3 tell us the righteousness of God was? Jesus Christ, was it not? It was manifested in that. Look with me back here at chapter 3. I'm getting done early, so we can kill a couple minutes here. He said, after telling us about the condition every man is under the law, he tells us, verse 21, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, is shown, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. The law and the prophets witnessed of it, but they didn't understand it, did they? Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. There it is, folks. Jesus Christ is, and you accept it by faith. You receive it by faith. And because of faith, it's imputed unto you for righteousness. Isn't that what he said about Abraham? Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. It was accounted to him for righteousness. And so everyone that believes, as Abraham believed, in Jesus, the faith of Jesus Christ and His shed blood, it's imputed to him for righteousness. Whose righteousness? My righteousness? Oh no, that's filthy rags. That's dirty. That's an open sepulcher. That's what he said in the preceding verses, chapter 3 and verses 10 and on down to verse 21, tells us. No, the righteousness of God, which is Jesus Christ, and by faith in Him, we can have that imputed to us. What a blessed truth. And so we see the righteousness of God. You and I have seen it by faith. Praise God. Well, and because we have seen it by faith, the righteousness of God, we ought not to live as the Gentiles, as the other Gentiles, as the unsaved, as the heathen, even as unsaved Israel. We ought to live the life of God, a life that is pleasing to God. And he really He's going to continue to nail that on the head the rest of this fourth chapter. And then he comes to chapter 5 in verse 1. And he says, be ye therefore, referring back to what he said in chapter 4, be ye therefore followers of God, imitators. That word follower is imitator. Imitator of God as dear children. You're a child of God. Then do as children do and imitate your Father, which is in heaven, God. Well, we'll close there this afternoon. Shall we stand? And we'll be dismissed in word of prayer. Brother Harold, would you dismiss us, please?